Welcome, bienvenue to the Fantasy Tools Podcast. This is a show where fantasy tools discuss fantasy tools. I'm your host, Eric Rentz, and I'm joined by my co-host, Michael Peterson. Our mission is to discuss fantasy baseball and the tools that we're developing that help us manage our teams. Cue that intro music. Talk about TGFBI draft and where we're at and how we're done.
Yeah, you said it right. We're both done. I like, there's something really fun about the very end of the TGFBI draft because it doesn't matter. You're so deep in the
list.
Oh yeah. You're so deep in the lists. You know that you're going to churn through these guys. I mean, because the average team in TGFBI is dropping 2 to 3 guys a week, right? Is cycling 2 to 3 guys a week through their roster.
Yeah.
So you know that you're just going to churn these guys. So you may as well go for it.
I know. Yeah, a lot of fun guys. And then, but the issue is that sometimes you do get the Brock Purdy.
Yeah.
Like the year before last, I picked up Luis Arraez with my last pick in the draft and then dropped him within the first 2 weeks. And that was a mistake because he almost hit 400 or whatever. Yep. What was the grade that you got on your draft?
C. Straight C.
D plus.
Ooh, D plus. We never grade out well against fans against.
That's not
they
true.
Use.
No, it was. I think it was that same draft that I was talking about with Leafs Rise. I'm pretty sure I got like a B plus on that or something.
I never grade out well against the draft. How about that? What are your weaknesses? Mine are ERA, wins, saves.
Strengths, stolen bases.
That sounds good.
Weaknesses, whip. That's it.
Whip.
That's all that.
Really?
All
that's all you got.
Insights. Yep. That's all I was told. It says your position. Your position ranks overall 12th, starters 11th, bench 7th. Ooh, good bench. Hitters 9th. Pitchers 13th.
Why do they even do that? Why do they even give you your bench?
Expert opinions. Can you just imagine if there was like actually experts that were like looking at every single league and like, oh my gosh, can you believe this guy?
We are the experts, like nominally, right?
Yeah, allegedly. Brooklyn Mashers on my in my league apparently did very well, according to this.
I mean, it's basically cross matching against the Fantasy Pros list, right?
Yes, exactly.
So, I mean, we know it's funny because we've filtered our thing against it a little bit. We've filtered our rankings against it a little bit.
We adjusted to it. No. Anyways, any guy that you particularly liked in later rounds? We talked about early rounds.
Well, I started picking, I started attacking some more of the prospect things. So depending upon how they work out, I picked up Pete Crow Armstrong late round.
I was looking at him too, sitting on him.
If he gets called up, that could be good.
I got a couple of my favorite players from last year who I thought could take another leap, which is Ezekiel Duran, Willie Castro, just my friend Willie. That's probably one of the reasons I got D plus. And Bryce Elder and Graham Ashcroft.
Oh, I like that, actually.
Plus Aaron Ashby, who I like that. I like my pitchers. I feel like I have a couple of guys that could be pocket aces, maybe. In a TGFBI sense, not in a like. You should not have assumed that this will be at number one on your team in a 10-team mixed. Yeah, if you think it, Bryce Elder is going to be your number one in a one team in a 10-team mix, then
yikes. Youch.
You're probably not listening to this podcast correctly. Korea, you want to go to Korea?
The reason that these drafts are so prescient right now is because a week from tomorrow, because we're recording this on Tuesday, Wednesday of next week, there are games, real games that count for fantasy.
Yeah, Oppenheimer boy is going to pick up his baseball and. Put down his Oscar and he's gonna pitch.
That is that's early, and it means that you, by the time you listen to the next version of this podcast, you'll have had to do some ad drops probably.
You very well might. I hate that you gotta figure out in the like the first week like who is gonna be valuable in Korea.
Well, I mean, I have some easy drops, right? Like I have Lucas Giolito. You know who's not gonna be valuable this year?
Did he go down with a season-ending injury? Did I miss?
Giolito will undergo surgery Tuesday to repair UCL damage in his right elbow.
Oh, you stupid, stupid. I told you.
I know.
As soon as you joined, I was like, don't do it. We on this podcast typically do not like him.
See, I thought this was going to be a major I told you so moment. I just set it right up for you right there because I know because you.
Well, the fact that you were, I did not even hear it. Yeah, okay. 13 hours ago. Okay, well, 13 hours ago. Thank you.
Yeah, they reported last week.
The last 24 hours. I saw that, but I thought that they were just slowing him down.
Nah.
Wow. Yeah. Well, it would explain why he sucked last year.
Sure. Anyway, I'm going to drop Lucas Giolito. So I think it's funny because between the drafts taking place and the Korea games, I already need to churn things around.
Oh, I know, right? Well, yeah, like if I had expected Marco Luciano to actually make the team, I can only imagine that he's the second to last pick. But if I had expected him to make the team and was like, okay, he's going to be my shortstop.
Yeah.
I'm like, nope.
Well, I was pulling for Lars Nootbaar, has fractured ribs already. It's like,
oh, it's so frustrating because you and I like him so much.
Yeah.
And he just cannot. The players like that just can't stay healthy in like, you know, in like a running into walls kind of way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are really hard on me.
So anyway, what I'm trying to say is that look at your team, look at injuries that have happened during spring training, and get ready to do ad drops before the Korea games next week.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Just a reminder. This is like the reminder that we got to give everybody before the Patriot Day games.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right, today on the pod, we're going to talk about over-under lines ahead of the season. As we just talked about, Korea starting next week. We thought we'd take a look at Vegas or your favorite line makers' predictions for over-unders, give some thoughts, try and do a little bit of this live, give ourselves a little bit of accountability going into the season. And of course, these do have fantasy implications because quality of a team really strongly affects the quality of the players on the team and vice versa, obviously. Matters. But so we got to have a sense of who's going to be good and who's going to be bad. So how do you want to do this? You want to go worst to best, best to worst, divisions?
Let's go best to worst.
Okay. All right, let's just go through this. So, number one, Dodgers. I'm looking at a 103.5 line, although there are 104.5 lines available out there, which is insane. What are you doing?
Under. Yeah. I just think that it's really tough to – I think it's just too tough to say
over. No, we're in total agreement.
104 wins.
We're in total agreement there. All right. Braves, 101.5.
What are you going to say what you said?
Oh, I said under. Of course.
Okay. Braves. Jeez. 101.5. I think I'm going to do the under for them as well. I think there are just too many ways that they can actually screw up the season.
Okay. I did the over. I think they're a team that manages to get it done. They have the best player. They have the unequivocal best player in baseball. They have pretty good supporting cast around him. Somebody's got to get over 100 wins. I don't think it's the Dodgers. I think it's going to be the Braves.
Okay. I'm fine with that. I had started with over, but I think that I decided to convince myself to under after the Cunha injury and realizing Chris Sale is heavily involved in that over.
So that was tier one, I would say. There's an immediate drop-off here. Now, the next best team, the New York Yankees, 93.5. That's 8 games less. That's a huge drop-off in line.
But also, 93.5 is a pretty high over.
Yeah.
Under line.
Yeah. But
I'm going to jinx him. Take the over.
I said over also. Just a game off from that, Houston Astros, 92.5.
Also an over.
I also said over. Oh, we're headed towards the agreement here. I think
that the additions that they've made on that team are going to be helpful.
Next up, two teams at 90.5, although Caesars, for me, had 3 teams at 90.5. But the two teams you've got here, Philadelphia Phillies and Baltimore Orioles, both at 90.5. Where are you thinking about those?
This is really tough. Are we going to get a full year out of Bryce Harper? Is this an every other year for Nola?
I look at that Phillies roster, and I think this is a good team.
And they just always shoot themselves in the foot. But yeah. I think that they're going to be high 80s. They're going to be at the end of the season. They're going to be charging in where it's like, the end of the season, we're going to be looking at them. They're going to be projected for 91 wins.
Yeah.
And the question is, are they going to win one extra game or one fewer game or two fewer games? I feel like I want to take the under on them. I see them being like having usually what they usually do, which is like stumble out of the gates or they stumble in the middle of the season. Then all of a sudden they charge back in August.
I also took the under there. Baltimore?
Over. Over 1,000 times over.
Over on Baltimore. I also did an over on Baltimore. We're a little too in touch today. All right. Now, on the lines that I had, I also had Texas at 90.5. You got Texas at 89.5. I like the 89.5 line better.
Because you want to go over, but I want to go under because I think that they're going to have a hangover.
Well, I did not.
And that division, that's going to be harder.
So I did under at 90.5. Feels... I understand what I want. I think at 90.5, that's a lot of wins. 90 is a lot of 91 is a lot of wins.
Yeah,
there's a lot of ways to not.
They're
get
better
to 91
as
wins.
They're better as a team that's like has no expectations. I think
I agree. So you're going under at.
But yeah, between, I mean, Scherzer is not 100%. Corey Seager is not 100%. Josh Jung is our little buddy. Is you know. Adolis Garcia can't carry a team. Marcus Semien, everybody hates as being a like star player.
Yeah.
Who else? Nate Eovaldi. You have a lot of guys that last year, like, combine at the right times to be useful. That I feel like this year, the check is going to be cashed. It's like Bill Simmons' old thing of like, he talked about the Miami Heat when they won that, like, for the championship in 06, I think it was, where they had Gary Payton, they had Antoine Walker, they had Shaq, they had, and he's like, you know, this is like that really great dinner that you have with a bunch of old friends, and then I'll have the extra bottle of wine. Oh, yeah, no, we'll have the cheese plate after dinner. And then all of a sudden you look at the check and you're like, wait, what did we spend money on? How much was this? And then you're spending the whole... Now, then you're complaining afterwards. Dinner was still great. It doesn't change that. But then you're digging a hole out of that. I feel like that's where the Rangers are going to be this year.
That's a good breakdown on the Rangers. All right, you've got team at 87.5 here, the Seattle Mariners.
Over. I love this. I love the Seattle Mariners this year.
Best part to me is I found them at 86.5, and I could not hit the over hard enough at that point. Like, are you kidding me? 86.5? Come on.
Yeah.
I can't believe that this is here. Minnesota Twins at 86.5 with the Blue Jays? Twins and Blue Jays 86.5? No. Okay, well, you tell me. I won't buy a...
They're going to win 87 games. That's what they're going to do. They're going to be... And they're either going to be in neck and neck with the Cleveland Indians, or they're going to be like 8 games ahead of them. And... Well,
hold that thought for when we talk about the Cleveland line, but like, I mean,
I know.
So you're saying over for the Twins? One.
No, I'm saying this is an amazing line because they're going to be in the mid 80s for wins. I would take the under on the Twins.
Okay,
they might win that division with 84 games.
I know. That's my whole point. Is they
that might... was what I was concerned about last year. Was we were like, I think that we'd been on the over and then it was like, oh, they have no competition.
Yeah, they don't have to go for it. They don't have to go for it. But Blue Jays, same line here, 86.5.
Over. I mean, trade the entire roster of the Twins for the entire roster of the Blue Jays.
Why? Yeah. Right? Why is this line here? I don't get it.
Well, because they keep on. Last year they did. Last year they kind of, you know, tripped on their dicks.
It feels. That one to me feels like a wrong line. But I understand. But you can't. You shouldn't look at last year's performance.
It's also sort of the history of the Blue Jays since they won that stupid World Series.
They got Joey Votto. What do they need?
There's a win right there. There's one extra win right there. When we talk about that.
I know. We messed up. All right. Three teams, 84.5. We are marching towards 500 here. Three teams, 84.5 line. Cubs, Cardinals, same division there, and Rays. What? It feels like these are three totally different teams, and they all have the same line.
I know, and they would get to 85 wins in very different ways, right?
Yeah.
Who's going to pitch for the Rays?
Does it ever matter? They don't do that.
Is this what I kept on thinking about with Zach Elfin? Like, is Zach Elfin? can he do it? Can he like get out there and throw 200 innings? Because if he could, I think they're going to get over.
Rays over. Yeah. I have the Rays as an under. So I think that's a good spot for us to differ.
Yeah. It's I think pretty close.
I think that's a nice line. Stuff could definitely go wrong for them. They get to 84. That's fine. What about these other ones? You got Cubs, Cardinals. It's going to be a division slap fight.
I think the Cubs are going to take another step, and I think that the Cardinals are going to continue to have this march through purgatory.
That's kind of interesting. So I have them both as overs, I think for slightly different reasons, but I see where you're coming from. Okay, one that you actually had penciled in here, Diamondbacks, Arizona, 83.5. Yeah.
Over. There's a lot of teams where there's the – I think every year there's a team that has a hangover from the World Series, and it could be the team that – it's usually the team that loses doesn't do well in the next year. I actually think that it's going to be the opposite. That was sort of the confidence that Arizona Diamondbacks needed to be a competent team. 83.5, if we could find it even lower, I'd feel better. But
no,
yeah, I'm not saying that they're going to win 100 games. I'm not. But I do think that they're going to win high 80s.
If we could find an 82.5, we'd be in business, I think. All right, how about the teams straddling the 500 bubble here? This is the teams that are looking. Well, the 82.5 here. First up, let's discuss the Reds. You just pounded in under. Yeah, come on. How are the Reds going to get
everything went right last year, which means everything's going to go wrong this year.
How are the Reds going to get there? All right, here's the four teams that are straddling 500, meaning they either have a line of 81.5 or an 80.5. Again, these teams are totally different. These teams are so different that it's hard to discuss them in one place. But the Mets, the Padres, the Giants, all at 81.5. The Tigers at 80.5.
A lot of orange.
Are these 500 teams? I feel like...
The Detroit Tigers are a 500 team. This is the team that is sitting there. And I think that if we were to transport the entire roster of the Mets to, Kansas City, we'd probably say, they're probably going to flirt around 500. But we're so distracted by the Metsiness of them.
Yes. The Metsiness of it all. I totally agree. That's exactly where I'm at too. I think they're going to fall apart.
But I think that taking the under on the Mets is always a good idea.
Absolutely. We're in agreement there.
And I'm sort of in the taking over on the Giants.
Over on the Giants. I agree.
You know what? The Padres. I think the Padres team is going to throw a wrench into the plan of like, okay, let's blow it all up. And they're going to do really well this year.
It feels like now that they've finally taken their foot off the gas, that this is when they're going to do well.
Yeah. know?
Like they tried so hard for like 5 years and they're accidentally going to do well.
Get the traction. Yeah.
So what are you doing on Detroit here though? You're going over, I guess, because you think they're a 500 team.
I do. I think that they're going to do. And that division.
Okay. You don't have to tell me. I think, first of all, remember, this is the second team that we've discussed in that division. And we're way down here. We're putting lines on the 21st team. This is the second team we've discussed. That division is bad. All right. 78.5s, Miami Marlins, Cleveland Guardians.
I mean, you took Jesus Luzardo.
I did.
And I just thought to myself, on a 75-win team, I'm concerned about him getting wins.
I'm not picking him for wins. Look, they're a 78-win team. This is an under.
I'm taking under.
Yeah, me too. I also took the under there. We have a lot of agreement. All right.
Guardians, I'm over.
I'm under there. I think.
Oh, it is Luke Voit now instead of my old friend.
Terry.
Yeah.
No,
I'm just going to take the over.
I'm fine with that because I think that this team, the distribution of outcomes is incredibly wide. So this is like, this line is the mean, sure, but the range of outcomes is enormous for this team.
Mm-hmm.
They could be horrible, but they also could be, they could easily win that division. They could have that division locked up by the All-Star game.
Okay, that's a little exaggerated, but yes, they could.
All right, another pair of teams at 77.5 here, Milwaukee Brewers, Boston Red Sox. Two favorite teams of the pod.
Two of the favorite teams of the pod. Okay. Yeah. They're definitely top five.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Brewers under. I don't know. It's like what? It's Freddie Peralta. Then Freddie Peralta have Devin Williams come in and then hope for rain.
Is Devin Williams coming in? Let's see how he goes when he talks to his spine specialist this week.
Is that good?
I was like, this is like the worst thing I've ever heard. I haven't heard of someone just randomly being referred to a spine specialist. Like, I don't like that at all. Okay. All right.
Hey, thank God he doesn't pitch a 98-mile-per-hour fastball and rely on that.
I actually think the Brewers are going to be over. I just think they can put it together a little bit. I think it's going to be a little bit of an FU season after getting their manager totally poached, like completely poached by the Cubs.
True.
I just think they can.
That was so early, but they have no one to
F them with. Yeah, I mean, like, I think
Willie Adames is gonna hit. This is gonna be the year. We're both not on Willie Adames, so he's gonna hit 45 home runs.
I think they can get to 78. Is what I'm saying. I'm not saying like don't pencil me in for 90 wins. I'm saying I think they can get to 78.
Yeah, true. That offense is starting to be something, right? Christian Yelich, Willie Adames,
so
Rhys Hoskins.
So why can't the Red Sox get to 78 wins?
Because they're mired in Red Soxiness.
I actually think they're going to put it together. I think they've got it.
I think the opposite of the Mets team. Like if you were to transport this, if you were to trade this team to Kansas City, and you were to be like, yeah, they're not they're. You'd say, yeah, they're not going to get to 80 wins.
No, I actually, sure. I don't disagree with that. That's fair. All right, I would say here we go. We're taking a step down, another step down. We're not quite in the basement yet, but we're headed there. Now we've got at 74.5 Pittsburgh Pirates.
They have so many interesting bats. And who to pitch?
I know.
And Bednar is hurt? Right?
It's Mitch Keller.
Well, okay. I'm gonna say the under on
me too.
Pittsburgh.
I also said the under. Okay, so now still headed to the basement, not there yet. Kansas City Royals 73.5.
How did they get no?
I know. How did they get that line? I have no clue. Let's move on. Los Angeles.
No, they're
Angels,
not gonna get there.
Los Angeles Angels 72.5.
I mean, I think that they're not gonna have I don't think that Shohei actually like helped their team. But they have no one on that team. But like,
but you feel like that line's too low.
I think it's too low.
All right, we can. I said under.
Same with the Nationals.
I think I can find some new depths here. All right, I don't think the Nationals. I think the Nationals aren't quite in the basement. So 66.5. I think we are in agreement that they're over. Now we're in the basement.
I like them. I kind of like the Nationals to be. They were fun last year. I think they're going to be a fun team this year. I mean, you know, scrappy, hardworking town.
All right, now we're in the basement. White Sox 63.5.
Under. I think that's a terrible team.
I don't. Okay. I said over. We'll see. All right. Colorado 60.5.
I think that there you can pencil them in for 65 wins.
I agree. Even that line is just too low. Now.
Yeah, and same thing with Oakland. I think that Oakland has a quadruple A team, but like I think as we proved last year, it's hard to bet under 60.
I don't care. Wins. I did it anyway.
All right.
So we, you know, what's interesting is that we both ended up with 16 overs.
Really? Okay.
I was using that as a early, as an early check sniff to make test. Sure I wasn't just like, because I think ideally you would get.
There are years where it's just like, yeah, everybody's going over. And you're like, I can't have 20 teams thinking that they're going
to
go over.
There has to be a split. Okay. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 differences starting from the bottom now, working backwards. We're different on Oakland, on White Sox, Angels, Brewers, Guardians, Tigers, Red Sox. That's the bottom. So we really differ at the bottom, actually, it turns out. And then at the top, all we've got towards the top, we're different on the Rays, Cardinals, and the Braves.
Oh, okay. So we're
going to be... We're gonna be watching the bad teams, which is kind of a bummer because I feel like the low end are the ones that are harder to lock in early.
Oh yeah, well, no, that's not true. It's like 1 in 3. 1 in 3. There's like the team that's like just shoots way past their over under line, and you're like, well, that's done. That's we know that where that's gonna go by the All-Star game. And then the other ones where it's like, yeah, if if we have to watch, like when we've done the NBA one and it's Detroit, and it's like, we got to go to the end of the season because it's their line was 20 games and they're on a 19 win pace, and we're gonna have to watch this the whole way through.
Well, that was that was fun. That was those are good lines. I think by and large, good lines. I think
agreement on 20. You said
agreement on 20 at the bottom. All there's right, some good there stuff. Go. I think there's some good stuff at the bottom for differences. I think, you know, volatility in general increases as you get towards the bottom, so it makes sense that we started to split there.
Yeah, I think that about brings us to the review session. Emmanuel Classe.
Emmanuel Classe. Started with Texas. I think I forgot about that he had a year in Texas.
Had not remembered that either.
Remember him in Cleveland, and the reason you remember him in Cleveland is because he's been pretty good. Last year, 44 saves, 72.2 innings pitched in that, only 64 strikeouts, 3.22 ERA, 1.16 whip, and 3 wins. Let's count that. 9 losses, though. Oof. Ouch.
If you get that many saves, you can break a couple eggs.
Well, I was going to say it's more like if you give up a run and you're in Cleveland, you're not getting it back.
Oh, it matters. It really matters.
They're not saving you in extras. It's just not happening. But the thing is, like, so people drafted him last year even higher because you look at his 2022 line, which had 42 saves, 0.73 whip, and a 1.36 ERA in the same number of innings. That's elite. So what happened? I guess my big question is, do we think 2022 or 2023 Class A is more correct?
Oh, I think 2023.
Okay.
But you didn't say, like, one of the most important stats here.
25.
Yeah. Year 25 season, he will be turning 26 here by St. Patrick's Day.
The problem for me is that he pitches like a 25-year-old. And what I mean by that is he relies, two-thirds of his pitches are a 99-mile-an-hour cutter. And then his off pitch is a 91-mile-an-hour slider. These are things that...
You go see a spine specialist after doing for a couple of months.
I mean, like, excellent. I'm sure, I feel confident that you can ride this out in 2024, but I'm going to be a little nervous to watch for signs of decline just in general.
Wow, his K per, well, one of those would be his K per 9.
Which
went
plummeted.
From being 9.5 to 7.93. And his walks skyrocketed from 1.24 to 2. Though I think that's his career in 2021, and in Texas in 2019, it was around 2. So you're going to get some walks with him. Home run's kind of lowish.
But I mean, are you? Because the previous 2 years in Cleveland, he had a whip below 1, which is what you want, obviously, for your closer.
Yeah, but his BABIP was really high last year, 295. Usually we're expecting to see that in like 265 kind of range. So I think that you're going to see some positive regression there on the BABIP. And I think you're going to see some positive regression on the K per 9.
So what would you take... talk to me about preferences here. So you're looking at 44 saves, but a 3.22 ERA with 9 losses. So he's going to torch you some weeks. Or would you rather see the smaller number of saves? Like he got, this is not a question that he can control, but the team, you know, 2021, he had 24 saves, much lower ERA and whip. What are you prioritizing? Are you just like, give me the saves, or do you actually care about the quality here?
I think the saves matters more. I think the opportunity for saves is there in the Cleveland team, which is going to be has really good starting pitching and has decent fielding, and has a tradition of being in close games. I like that combination, and he's a pretty good pitcher. And we talk about, you want to have a fastball. Fastball is what makes a closer.
No, he looks like a perfect closer. He just looks like a 25-year-old closer. I mean, it's a question of, like, can he keep up 99 miles an hour? That's the thing that we got to watch. But I guess my other thing is that
Cleveland is an ideal team for him, especially if you believe that, because if we assume that every time he appeared last year was a save opportunity, or everyone that he got a save or a win or a loss was a save opportunity, that's 56 of Cleveland's 81 wins or something. That's two-thirds of the games. Cleveland is just two-thirds. Cleveland is, when Cleveland wins, it's not by much.
No, but, well, we've talked about their starting four, and didn't they lose one of their first four hitters? It's like 1-2-3-4 and then a wasteland. And then 1-2-3-4 is not exactly the, like, 1920s Yankees we're talking about, like slightly above replacement level guys in fantasy. So, but then you have Tanner Bibby, you've got Shane Bieber, you've got Tristan McKenzie. You've got an exciting group of starters to go behind and a pretty decent setup, man. So I like the opportunity, and I like the kind of pitch mix that he has for that. And the question is, what was he doing from it's not like he was going deep into the playoffs last year, which is something you got to worry about with some of these pitchers.
I mean, if I sound negative, I don't mean it. I actually think Class A is going to return good value as your top flight closer. Like if you're the type of guy who wants to build a team around, build a pitching staff around a closer, because you're going to have to spend handsomely to get him.
Yeah.
But if you want to do that, I think I could think of way worse investments than Class A.
Right. And I think that, I don't think that highs are necessarily as high as Josh Hader, but I think that the low is definitely higher than the low of the season that Josh Hader had with San Diego.
For sure. No, I totally agree. And I think hopefully the usage doesn't change with Luke Voit coming in, as we talked about during the over-under part. I don't see any reason why. I mean, this feels like if it's not broken, don't fix it situation. Class A seems to know what he's doing. Just leave him. Just go for it.
Do we have an over-under that we're going to do? K per nine.
Yeah, let's do it. One. What was he?
K per inning. I think that he's going to go over.
Okay, I'll take the under. I don't think he can do it.
Okay. I think he's going to bounce back. The other thing would be the BABIP. Is he going to be over-under of 265?
That's harder to predict.
Yeah. All right, who are we doing next week?
We're going to talk about Camilo Duvall.
Time for a little housekeeping. Be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes and follow us on Twitter, Fantasy Tools, Mind the Z. Thank you, Mild Manor, for letting us use your tunes. Be sure to follow them on SoundCloud and Facebook. Feel free to email us with questions or comments. Send us messages at fantasy.tools@gmail.com. Again, Mind the Z. All I've got left is, worst of luck to you, buddy.
Worst of luck to you, too. Yeah!